We just wrapped up the busiest shopping weekend of the year. From the newly coined Gray Thursday to Cyber Monday, retailers did everything in their power to get you to buy their stuff. Seemed to work, maybe not as well as expected in the stores, with sales figures slightly down from previous years. But Cyber Monday set a new single-day record, with shoppers dropping over $2.25 billion on internet purchases.
We also heard news this week that Amazon wants to start offering 30-minute deliveries by drone. And while this could take a while to become a reality, it's pretty clear that retail, as we know it, will never be quite the same.
Joining us to make sense of the changing face of retail is John Talbot, Associate Director of the Center for Education and Research in Retailing at Indiana University. John, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thank you. How's the weather up there? Cold?
Not too cold. Kind of rainy, snowy in the northern part of the state, though. So it's a little messy. A little messy for the drive home.
Well, we have nice weather down here in Bloomington.
All right. Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah.
Well, we in the media make a big ruckus about this weekend we just got out of, from Thursday through Monday. Is it really that important an economic indicator for the nation as a whole and retail in particular?
For retail in particular, certainly, and I think for the broader indicator of how the U.S. economy is doing, I also think that it is important for that. I don't know if you've noticed, but I just was reading that the stock market is down, I think, about a four-day down run for the first time since September, and I'm sure that's attributable to what's being seen in terms of the performance of retail out there right now. Because it's driven a lot by retail stocks. I noticed Amazon was down almost 2% today.
So I heard we mentioned just now that Cyber Monday set some record sales numbers this year, but is this one of those cases where, yeah, we did better than last year, but we didn't hit the expectations that we had coming into this year?
I think it was a good day, and frankly, I was a bit surprised by the quality. And in reflecting on it a bit and sort of digging into the numbers, I think what led to that increase is not necessarily the performance of companies like Amazon or eBay that are sort of pure play e-com players, but you guys have a little retailer up there in Wisconsin named Kohl's, and I suspect that they did a spectacular job on Cyber Monday. And the reality is that the brick-and-mortar traditional retailers, the biggest single location for them today for Macy's, Kohl's, Best Buy, Dick's Sporting Goods is their online site, and they've done a much better job of figuring out how to play that game. And I suspect that what we'll see when the numbers shake out and we see reporting is I think that we're going to see that a big driver behind this is that we shifted some of the sales from Dick's in-store inventory to their online stores, for example. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, that's interesting because I often think of it as online versus brick and mortar stores, but there's hybrids, I think unicorns, people call that sort of human online interface that may be the real wave of the future.
Yeah, it was interesting. I heard in the preliminary comments that retail's changed forever. And I, in my head, I've coined a term Cyborg Monday. And I think that, the new idea is really this integration between brick and mortar and the internet. And, in some ways, if you think about a company like Kohl's, Kohl's has, I think they have over 1,500 stores around the country. Those are effectively warehouses. And Amazon is rapidly trying to build their capability in terms of warehouses that have close proximity to their customers so that they can do things like use drones to deliver. Well, Kohl's already has those in the form of their stores, and they have access to that inventory and are, developing and probably already have capability to ship from any of those locations to give very timely types of deliveries to consumers. So I think for me, the revelation is really just that we've kind of come full circle on the traditional retailers have had the time and have the financial resources to really build and have successful online businesses.
Whether we're talking about Amazon or eBay or Walmart or Kohl's and their online incarnations, are we as a shopping culture just getting more comfortable with buying our stuff online?
Oh, I would have to say all the evidence says yes. The number of people that are shopping, the mechanisms that they're using for purchasing online. If you look at, I think most of the data from over the weekend indicates that, the increases in the use of tablets to make purchases was up substantially, and that smartphones were involved in a number of purchases, still aren't maybe the primary mechanism for pushing the button, if you will. But absolutely, you know, and a big part of that is, you know, the legacy, the reason Cyber Monday was invented in the first place is because the reality was, you know, when I was several years ago in business, was that we had T1 connections at our office, and at home I had a 128-bit modem. And, you know, it was just a lot easier to shop from my my workspace. And I'm sure nobody does that today. You know, it's not as necessary because we have high-speed connectivity at home. And so, you know, ubiquitous connectivity, Wi-Fi, it's just a lot easier to utilize online shopping. And the retailers have gotten better at developing digital interfaces that are very friendly and easy for us to use. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see this trend continue.
But is there an upward level? Is there always going to be a percentage of consumers who want to be there physically in the store and be able to look at and maybe touch or try on the product before they buy it?
Certainly. I don't know if you guys have heard a term called showrooming. That was the phenomena of people going into Best Buy, looking at the items they had, and then going to Amazon and actually making the purchase. And what's happening today is, I think, you know, the brick and mortar retailers have realized that they need to embrace that concept. And there are certain people that really need to touch and feel and look at the good. There's an interesting new retailer called Bonobos that's a menswear retailer that started as an online store. And now what they have is what they call, I think it's style shops. And they don't actually have any inventory in the store. They just have, you know, one of everything. And you can go in and try things on and get to touch and feel the goods, see what fits you. But then the delivery actually comes from their website. And so this integration, to me, is really what's the most interesting thing going on right now.
So we've seen what happened on Black Friday and the weekend around it, and now Cyber Monday. How much of a percentage is that roughly of overall holiday shopping? How much is still yet to come?
Yeah, I was looking at some numbers from the National Retail Federation, and it looks like you know, as much as 40 or 45, maybe 50% of the shopping has taken place. And I also saw data from MasterCard, I believe, that said that the first two stores that a consumer hits is where 70% of their spend goes. So, you know, this is definitely an important time, and the remainder of the holiday season is we're unlikely to see days of similar magnitudes unless it's that last Saturday before Christmas. That always is a big shopping day.
I've seen some reporting that since the doorbusters weren't as gangbusters as retailers were hoping, that we may see a lot more big deals, maybe deeper price cuts over the next couple of weeks. Do you see that coming?
I've said this a couple of times, but I think that this is it's who's going to blink first. Is it the consumers or the retailers? And so, if the sales that they have projected, they're underperforming to that at a significant level, then it's terribly important for retailers to end this period on plan from an inventory perspective. If you look at the month of December, for most retailers, it might be four or five times the revenue volume of the month of January that follows. And so, you know, you've got to move that inventory while the customers are out there spending their money. So, the retailers are really good at tracking what's going on right now. They have good data, and if they're not meeting the expectations they have in terms of, you know, moving goods out the door or into the shipping boxes, if you will, then I would suspect that we will see, you know, deep discounting to get to the levels that they need to be by the end of December.
We're talking with retail expert John Talbot about the changing face of retail. Now you can tell us what you're doing at 800-642-1234. Did you do any shopping over the weekend or on Cyber Monday? What determines who gets your business, online, big box store, or buying at a local store? And what do you think of the idea of delivering stuff by drone? Give a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Cynthia Schuster.
And I'm Rob Barrett. We're talking with retail expert John Talbot of Indiana University about the changing face of retail. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Where do you shop? Were you out shopping on the big holiday weekend? Do you like to shop online, or does it turn you off for some reason? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to the phones now. We have Eric with us in Milwaukee. Eric, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I have a bit of an issue with online shopping, mostly because I work at my arcade for redemption prizes, and when I'm working, I like using places like eBay and Amazon. But when I'm doing my own personal shopping, I just get upset that a lot of these online shops have terms of use that a lot of online services are doing right now, where if there's any legal issues going on, you're not allowed to sue in court. And I get very protective about the idea that my credit card could possibly be leaked and there'd be nothing that I could possibly do about it. That in when I go shopping at my local stores, I usually like to just have them order stuff in for me. I mean, I can just get it right there.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot, Eric. So, John, a couple issues there. One consumer concern, and I've heard a lot of other people complain about those terms of use or terms of service, long documents. Most of us just click OK and move along without reading them.
Uh-huh. I'm not going to lie. I don't read those either. I think that, in terms of one thing that I think I could assure Eric about is that there's a firewall separation between his credit card data and any other information that they're gathering. There's very rigid rules around how retailers are able to structure their payment pages, and they don't merge that information with other data that they have related to his shopping behavior on browsers and other things like that. There's always been a firewall. Basically, that data is passed cleanly to Visa or these other payment companies. And, the security is pretty good in terms of that. In terms of what they say, I mean, a lot of that just has to do with trying to absolve themselves of liability and create a mechanism where they have some legal fallback in the event that something should go wrong. I can't say personally that I've had a bad experience, and I haven't read I don't know of any a large number of cases where there's been issues related to those terms, other than that people just sometimes don't like them and it makes them nervous and therefore they don't want to shop. I think the second part I heard Eric say was just security, about his card with the stores locally. Was that correct?
He was concerned about security online and locally, yeah.
Uh-huh. I think that I've probably taken more risk putting my credit card in my wallet and carrying it with me to the store than I do in terms of transacting online. I think if you're transacting with a legitimate retailer, and again, back to our discussion of these, brick-and-mortar stores and having now online components of their business, so companies like Kohl's certainly have as many or more mechanisms for securing information on their website as they do when you go to the store themselves. The danger when you go to the store is that you lose your wallet. Somebody is watching as you make your transaction and somehow gets your number that way. I don't know that there's really factually more risk by shopping on legitimate websites than there would be with carrying around a piece of plastic that can be lost or otherwise taken by someone.
Well, I mentioned earlier, we heard news this weekend that Amazon is working on the idea of delivery by drone, speeding up their delivery process by bringing you those products with a drone. They're hoping to do it in the next couple of years. Dan from Menominee is on the line. He has some thoughts on that. Dan, hi.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. What do you think about this?
Well, I think it's almost a technological impossibility. We have been experimenting with delivery by drones here in the States for a few years, but China's been experimenting for quite a few extra. And they don't have the battery capacity to go beyond a couple of miles. I'm sure that, you know, they'll be able to eventually expand to like a metro area. So if you happen to have an Amazon warehouse in your town, it might work. But this was almost certainly a publicity stunt that Amazon pulled to get users talking about them between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And, you know, 60 Minutes ran a piece on it. And, you know, they did a great job of having a 13-minute commercial for Amazon.
All right, Dan, thanks for the call. John, I won't put you on the hook for the finer points of drone technology, but Amazon did get a lot of publicity out of this announcement.
I think Dan is a shrewd marketer. You know, I think he's hit the nail on the head. Certainly the timing of this was not a mistake. And I might disagree. You know, it's difficult to sort of take a straight line projection and think about where technology is heading. I imagine that at some point in the future, it's conceivable. And I agree with Dan's statement that warehouse proximity is very important, but certainly we're going to continue to see improvement in battery technologies. And that's driven by a lot of different needs, not just for this particular drone, that would probably allow for, you know, a little bit longer flight times and things like that. But, you know, to make that sort of thing work, it has to be, it really is about having warehouse proximity, and Amazon is actively working on that. But I completely agree with Dan. I don't think this is something that we're going to see in the next 2 years, except as a small experiment. And I think he's right that the timing certainly didn't hurt in terms of bringing attention to Amazon at arguably the most important time of year for them.
With or without drones, Amazon has been a disruptor in the retail industry, and I assume will continue to be. You mentioned the warehouse expansion. We're seeing some of that in Wisconsin. Is Amazon going to continue to drive the retail agenda as they have been?
Oh, I have great respect for Jeff Bezos, and, you know, being an educator down here at IU, I've used examples of a lot of what he's had to say in terms of taking care of customers and other things. And I think I wouldn't underestimate the capabilities of that company. I think, you know, you just need to start thinking about who the next targets are. I mean, if they move a lot of their money in terms of where they spend dollars is really with UPS. And if, you know, if I were Mr. Bezos, which of course I'm not and never will be, I might be thinking about ways to not pay so much to UPS and really be responsible for my own deliveries to consumers. And I think that's the drones are the you know, the tip of the iceberg of that. But why wouldn't Amazon own their own trucks and things like that? They're delivering enough packages to make that a possibility, and you bring that margin inside the company and work on being more of a, they really are already a wonderful logistics company, and perhaps one part of that is actually, you know, having some capability in terms of delivery. I also think the recent partnership with the post office for Sunday delivery is interesting in light of what we see with the taxation issues around e-commerce. And I think, again, that's a smart play from a political standpoint from Amazon's perspective to, you know, kind of shift some political capital into their court, perhaps.
There has been some backlash on labor issues for Amazon. Some people have been complaining about conditions at the warehouses, we mentioned. Also seeing protests at Walmart, some workers saying the wages are too low. In this very intense competition, are workers facing troubles in this retail industry?
Well, the retail industry in general, particularly, you know, at the front lines of the store, has never been noted for, you know, exorbitant wages. I think some of the best retailers in the world, in the United States in particular, that probably are not as widely known, you know, do a great job of taking care of their frontline employees. You know, stores like Costco, you know, pay their store managers very, very well. And they realize that the people they have are the heart and soul of their companies. I think it's, when you look at low wages for employees at retailers, I think that's one of those times where you just have to take the finger and point it right back at our own chest. And, you know, why were people shopping over this weekend? They value low prices and great values. And in order for that to happen, you know, that requires very efficient mechanisms for delivery, and payroll's a big expense for these companies. And so in some ways, by us pushing for lower and lower prices, we're compelling these firms to do what they can to control wages. And you know, sometimes we have just ourselves to blame.
And, John, I'll put you at the spot. Were you queuing up outside a store early Friday morning waiting for a doorbuster deal?
I was not, but I will tell you one, if you have time, a quick interesting story. I was curious about the really early openings on Thursdays this year. So I woke up really early on Thanksgiving for no particular reason, and just out of professional curiosity, drove up to my local Kmart store, which opened at 6 a.m. And the parking lot was empty. I walked inside, and there were four employees all standing around the customer service stand. And I asked them, I said, "Do you guys have any coffee?" And they said, "What?" "Well, we have cans of it." And I said, "No, I figured if you're open this early, you know, you should have some cups of coffee." They go, "No, we don't." I go, "Did your manager buy you any coffee?" "No, we didn't have any coffee, but I drank some at home before I got here." So I left and went to my local Starbucks and bought one of those great, which Starbucks is always open on Thanksgiving. Everybody was quite friendly because they'd had all the coffee they need. Bought one of those great big boxes of coffee that you get with all the fixings, and took it back and gave it to the Kmart employees and said, "That's what your boss should have done." So, you know, my heart goes out to the folks that are working so hard for all of us during this time period. And, you know, I think we should, you know, if we want them to earn more, then we got to be willing to pay more.
John, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Okay. Sure thing.
That's Bye. John Talbot, Associate Director of the Center for Education and Research in Retailing at Indiana University.